All right, so are we ready to do some cases? All right, so I want you to open up your books, and we're going to turn to the worksheets, not the worksheets area, the handouts area. Actually, I think this is in the worksheets too. Go to the worksheets area, because there's two of them in here, and I want to make sure that you have one that's clean to take home and one that's going to be used, so. All right. So it's right after the thyroid assessment. Oh, and the thyroid physical assessment, by the way, is not just in the slide, it's a big one. So you'd be able to use that, copy it, you know, put it in your client's charts and all. All right. Okay, so it's page 59 of 68. Oh, and there's actually two of them. I have, is it 59 and 60, or did I have just two of them? Oh, it's, or 18, there's two of them in here. Page 13 of 18 in your worksheet. So either way, just leave one intact so you can use it when you get back and it's clean, and the other one you can use while we're going through these cases. And you can see the patterns. All right, so this is a scale that Dr. Bruce Rind put together. And you know how we talk about the different tests, just a reminder what the tests are, TSH, T3, T4, free T3, free T4, those are your, and reverse T3. Those are the main ones other than the antibodies, and then the antibodies are antithyroglobulin, thyroid peroxidase, and TSI, thyroid stimulating immunoglobulin. Those are all on the slide right before this. That's the list, okay? So instead of just testing TSH, we're going to test a whole bunch of stuff. If you have just one, and you can only test one thing, which do you think you want to test? Free T3. Awesome. And for me, free T3 and antibodies would be my next step. Okay? And I'm not sure if I won't, after Tom's presentation this morning, we go right to the antibodies. But right, remember he reinforced what I had said the other day, or yes, the other day, we've only been here for 2 days. It feels like a long time. What I said before, which was that I've seen cases where everything else was normal and they had these antibodies and they really weren't manifesting it yet, but we're getting a preview, you know, like the look into the future. All right, so this is put together, and if you look at it, it's got a scale, negative 10 to positive 10, right in the middle is the zero, and that's the optimal range, the actual optimal range of healthy people for free T3, free T4, and TSH. So if you look at the free T3, it's actually 320 to 330. Very narrow range is where there's optimal function. Most people are not going to be in the optimal function, but they're going to be within that. Hard to read, isn't it? It's a little tiny print. But I couldn't get it all the way across, and every time I raised the size of it, it wouldn't fit. So it is what it is. But the thing is that you're plotting the rate where the different pieces are, because you want them to line up in a straight line. And if there's a difference in the pattern, you know, free T3, free T4, TSH, that's going to mean a different thing, and that's what we're going to go through today. Got it? And I have some samples in the slides, which are going to show you. So this is the scale. That's just the pretty part of it. What happened to the... Huh. Interesting. This definitely is not the latest one. So we'll just make it up. So basically, the ones I had in there, I had a chart which had different, like, what does hypothyroidism look like? What does pituitary look like? What does the other look like? So we're gonna make this up. So what we're gonna do is draw on here, because it's gonna be easiest, because this is so tiny. And then we're gonna put some people's numbers on these. So, okay, how does this work? Oh, okay, it's crayon, okay. So we have TSH, FT3, FT4. And we're gonna use the middle, and we'll go out three. 1, 2, 3, middle, 1, 2, 3. Okay, so let's just say this is the ideal. and we have somebody's numbers come back where their TSH is lower than ideal. I'll just put it that ziggle there. We get their number is lower than ideal. So what are we thinking when the TSH is lower than ideal? Anybody have some thoughts? Would it be hypo or hyperthyroidism? Hyper or pituitary hypothyroid. So it's either the pituitary is just broken and it's not talking to the thyroid, and then the thyroid can't respond, so it's underfunctioning, even though it's perfectly normal and capable of it. It just isn't getting the command. Or the thyroid is overproducing so that when the TSH gets produced, it goes, oh, I don't need any more. I don't need to produce any more because there's plenty of thyroid hormone. Okay, and so if the TSH is extra low, it means it doesn't have to do much to stimulate the thyroid, and the thyroid's making thyroid hormone. Got it? So we have, it's either pituitary problem. Okay, so we have that over here, but we don't know for sure. How do we know for sure? We want to look at some other numbers. So if we look at the TSH is low, and we look at the free T3, and it's out here, what are we thinking? So the free T3 is higher than it should be, and the pituitary is lower. What are we thinking? Hyperthyroid. That's your hyperthyroid. But what if we look and we see that the free T3 is here? What does that mean? That means it's a pituitary because there's no stimulation coming from the TSH. Okay, so those are the straightforward ones. Okay, those are very commonly known about, would you say, that people, most medical professions get that? Good. Okay, so now we're going to look at, let me do a different color. So this is, we're going to say this combination, that red combination is hypo, and this is hyper, pituitary hypo. Okay, so now we're going to say that your TSH, let's just leave the TSH out for a minute. Let's just do your free T4, and your free T4 is good. We'll just put that little circle there. Free T4 looks good. And then we go and we look at the free T3, and the free T3 is down here. What are we thinking there? Conversion, absolutely, thank you. So the free T4 is great, but we don't have enough T3. And what are some of those things that are useful for the conversion? Selenium, zinc, magnesium, a bunch of nutrients, right? T2, whatever, D3, yeah. What else? Non-nutrient that depletes that conversion. Does anybody remember the name of the enzyme? Deiodinase, 5' deiodinase, right? So what factors did we say really impact 5' deiodinase? What have we started talking about the other day? What's the theme been? Stress. Cortisol and all those interleukins that created as a result of excess cortisol are going to deactivate, slow down that conversion. And so we'd also see reverse T3, probably elevated here. Okay, so now we're going to look at what happens if we see, say, the free T3 is high and the, let me just put another line through that. The free T3 is high and the free T4 is high and the free T3 is low. Is that any different than the previous example? Still a conversion issue, okay? So the free T4 can be perfectly normal or high, okay? But what if our free T4 was here and the free T3 was here? Same thing. Same thing. So that's what I want you to get. It does. You don't have to have abnormal values, or they can both be on the same side of abnormal, but they're a different degree of abnormal. And that's a piece that a lot of folks won't look at. They look at it's in the normal range, but they should be within the normal range appropriately. So that's why this chart is so valuable, because what you can do is just plot your person's numbers wherever they come. So say the TSH comes out and it says it's 0.5. Well, that goes in this range. And then you say, well, the free T4 is over here and the free T3 is here. So it's giving you the ranges, so you don't have to eyeball and go, well, is that high enough difference and all? This is something that has been studied and tested and used on thousands of patients. So you can just plot everybody on these little conversion things. And we'll do that when we do some examples. Does that make sense? And then you can just eyeball and go, whoa, conversion issue. Well, you'll recognize the pattern. Conversion issue is free T4 further to the right than free T3. Okay? So what happens, though, if we have, and this is a more rare one, but you still see it, and I want to talk about the cases that could be. So what if you have free T3 is up here, and free T4 is normal? Too much free T3, yeah. What could be cause? It can look like hyperthyroid, yes, but it's not a primary hyperthyroid. It's just the opposite. It's an overconversion. There's more T3 being made than putting the brakes on, okay? And somebody's gonna be, and it may be under a situation where somebody just needs more oomph. But if they have symptoms, then you're going to be looking for the symptoms of hyperthyroid. They come in and they say, I have heart palpitations and I don't know what's wrong. And you're going, whoa, what's happening here? Okay. So the other thing that you can look at here would be, what's another pattern? Let's go back to the TSH. So you go in and you see that the TSH is perfectly normal. TSH is normal, and free T4 is low, and free T3 is normal. This is a trickier one. Everybody? It very well could be, yes, absolutely. It could be something that's causing the thyroid to not be able to produce the normal amount of T4, but it's upregulated its conversion. You usually see them pretty close in that case. It's the body's going, okay, we don't have enough T4, but let me just push that 5' deiodinase and make it happen more effectively. So, and this may happen in early stages of thyroid dysfunction, where it's just starting to shift and the body's going, okay, we can still adapt. And after a while, it just can't adapt. Makes sense. And the person would have to not have a whole lot of other stressors and have to have really good numbers, good nutrient numbers in order to make that happen. But sometimes the body just compensates by over pushing that. And so instead of doing 80% to free T3 and 20% to reverse, it's doing 90. And that's why I think there's a lot of discrepancy in the literature as to what percentage reverse T3 versus T3 is made. Some say 40, some say 20. Okay? So these are just subtle patterns. And I just threw that in. It's more of an advanced one, but you might see it. The other thing I need to mention is that So remember back on the picture, the big HPAT picture, we talked about how cortisol and actually more excess ACTH is going to decrease the amount of TSH that's produced. Right? And that's like almost a protective mechanism. And there's sometimes cases where somebody says, oh my God, all my numbers showed that I was hypothyroid, but they gave me armor and or they gave me T4 and I feel awful. It's because the body was just naturally downregulating it, because you're under a lot of stress. We don't want to have that high metabolic rate and just burn through everything. So it's a protective mechanism. So sometimes you see that where the TSH is either normal or low, and it's really that it's overstimulation of the adrenals and the excess ACTH. Does that make sense? So let's look at some numbers. This is theoretical. Let's look at some numbers. And I did have, can we get, can we get up that K, that switch? Is that easy to switch? Or should we go through these and then switch? I'd rather, because I had a whole set of cases. Remember I had that one thing called adrenal cases? Could you switch it? And we'll talk about. So I have a few here, and I think I'll just start writing some numbers up. Because I wanted to show you one in particular that I put up that,
here we go. Dr. Rita Marie?
Yeah.
Can you repeat some of those things or slow down, because there's that delay here between what you're saying and what they're seeing, and so they're missing some things.
So they see it before?
They hear you before they see it, and then it clips off faster.
Is there any way to make that happen at synchronized?
It's just...
I don't think that's true. I mean, they're on a...
Because they're hearing and seeing what I'm writing. Anyway, basically, the patterns can be... everything lines up. What you're looking for is everything to line up. You can have normal numbers or what's on the normal range on the lab. However, it's going to, if it's, they're not lined up in a row, they're this way, it may be indicative of a problem. Yeah? Yes, this is all US units. Yes, yes. There are online things. You can just type in conversion as standard international to U.S. units, and that'll do the conversion for you. In our programs, we have a spreadsheet that I put together where I'll do it for you. You just plug the numbers in, and it converts it. Yeah. Okay, so, all right, so can we see? Oh, boy. I don't know if you guys can see this. All right, I'm just going to point out a few things, and we'll write some things up. Everything that's green is in the quote-unquote optimal range. Everything that's yellow is in the warning range. It's outside the optimal range, but the lab will still consider it normal. And everything that's orange is outside the lab range. So this is someone who's got, boy, I can't even see it. Remember here. All right, so their TSH. What I want you to see is this pattern. She's got a TSH of 5.33, which is outside the lab range. Then she's got it as 2.33. Then it's 2.2. Then it's 3.1. Then it's 5. Now it's 3.8. It's going up and down. Remember we talked about what pattern would that be showing if it's going up and down, TSH? Like an autoimmune, right? So this is just, if you start to see people and they come in their labs because I don't know what's going on with my TSH. It's up, it's down, it's all over the place. You got to start thinking autoimmune, and you've got to do the antibodies. Well, in this case, we did the antibodies, and what do you think? 1433, TPO. You think she has a little bit of an autoimmune problem? Yeah. So we got her down to 399 in about 6 months by applying the leaky gut, the adrenals, and doing the blood sugar. Blood sugar was a biggie. So... then she went and did a heavy metal thing to clear out heavy metals and went and tested it right while she started to clear, do this heavy metal clearing. It shut up. So she said, oh my God, do you think that's related to the heavy metal thing? And so let's go back. She went back a week later and it was back down to the 300s. Then we discovered, this was the interesting part about this one. This was done through LabCorp, through Direct Labs. In this case, she found a local doctor who would run it for her so she could get insurance coverage, and they ran it through Quest. And I started chatting with her, what was the difference? Oh yeah, I went to Quest that time. And we didn't think of it the first time, but we thought, something was up. Then the second time that this number jumped back up again, it went up to 817, was also at Quest. We're like, is it a difference in their way they measure? And then she told me the story of when she goes into this Quest lab. First of all, she has to sit there, and she has to sit there for like 45 minutes. And they go, yeah, we'll get to you. Yeah, we'll get to you. And they go, hurry up and come in. And then they told her that they had to take 8 vials of blood, And for the same tests from LabCorp, they were only taking two or three. And she's like sitting there, and the guy's like, I can't find your vein. And every time she went in there, it was that same like super stressed situation. And we're wondering. We're still wondering. And we're, you know, what she wants to do, but it takes funds, is to go in and do them 2 days, like right in a row, like go to from LabCorp, go to Quest, and then see what happens. But the interesting part is this jumping back down. So we've got her, you know, she's pretty much maintaining right around that 300. And this one went up to 400. And we're like, well, what's going on? You know, she's going, I'm still doing the leaky gut. I'm going to do it again. And she said that it was extraordinarily stressful in her life. And she had some travel she had to do. The money wasn't coming in. There was a whole bunch of series of things that started happening. And so now we're going back and like getting her to mellow out again and getting her to do some stuff. And we're going to see if we can get her antibodies down lower. Okay. So in this particular case, the TSH, the funny part was the TSH didn't seem that reflective except the first one, 599 and 1433. It was definitely out of range. But 299 and 339. So you're going to see a normal TSH. And she was much less symptomatic. I mean, she had lost 50 pounds and she had her energy back. Her brain fog was gone, all this other stuff. But she still had the antibodies. So this was actually before she did the leaky gut protocol, and 399. Then she did the leaky gut protocol, and it went down to 320. But we're still working on it because there's still some trigger foods that she's finding. So you're going to see changes, but there's a lot of other confounding things that you start to ask people about. So that's why I thought this was an interesting case. Yeah. The dates are. Let's see. This was. Can't even read them. January 2012, and this was 6 or 7 or 8 months later. November, so 9 months later, 10 months later, and then this was January. So this was just a little bit later, a few months later. She wanted to see where it was at because of doing the heavy metals thing, and then this one was just very shortly thereafter. What was it? 2 weeks later. Because you're like, what the heck is going on? Let me just calm some things down and see if it makes a difference. And then she waited a long time before the next one. I can't read it. April. Yeah. Typically, I don't do, if I'm going to put them on a protocol, I typically won't do I won't redo the antibodies for a good 6 months to let them settle down. So, anyway, let's see what the next one. Was there another? Yes.
There's a question on here about quantities of the selenium, zinc, magnesium, 5' deiodinase.
Talk about some tomorrow.
Okay.
And it's in the packet. It's all in the packet if you go to the worksheet, the handouts part. Yeah, tomorrow we'll talk about treatment and specific protocols. Okay. So I'm going to pull up, I'm going to do some others. We could actually turn that off if we want to for now. Let it give it a rest so we can turn our attention over here. And then we'll go back and do the adrenals. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put up some numbers up here, and then I want you to use your worksheet and plot them, and then we'll talk about where they lay. Okay? So some of these I knew of, so I'm going to, that's an adrenal. And some of these you guys gave me. So I'm just going to use one I've never seen before. I don't know this person. And, okay. So, this isn't staying on. All right, so we have a TSH is 3.5. We've got antithyroglobulin, so ATG. Antithyroglobulin is 59.4. Reverse T3 is 16.7. And thyroid peroxidase is 196. And then free T3 is 2.3. You should know that on some of the labs, you'll actually see it fully spelled out. It won't say free T3. It'll say triiodothyronine, comma free, comma serum. That's the same as free T3. Triiodothyronine. Triiodo, three iodine with the tyrosine core. It's either 2.3, and you'll also see it as, some labs report them as single digits like that, some labs report them as in the range of the hundreds. So I always, LabCorp usually does it, this is LabCorp, usually LabCorp does it as a, to the hundreds, so. So if you put it on the chart, right? On the chart, we've got the TSH comes in the mid, comes over here. I'll just mark it. Okay, so the TSH is 3.5, so that's up here. And the antithyroglobulin is, these aren't on the chart, right? The reverse T3 is not on the chart. The T3 is 2.3 is, and here they listed in the hundreds. So you just do 230. So it's here. Okay. So what are we looking at here? And then she's also got two antibodies are positive, right? 196, pretty darn high, 59.4, relatively high. Yeah. So we've got an autoimmune. Right away we know it's autoimmune, right? But just because it's autoimmune, it may show up some other patterns here. We don't know what her T4 is. Was there a T4 on here? I don't see it. That's where we need to do, here we go, T4. Total, oh no, T4 free was 10. Good, you do have it. Is 1.04. Good, this is a good example. This is a perfect example because we've got a couple of things going on here. Okay, so if we put the free T4 on the diagram, it's 'kay. So we've got autoimmune right away. This is an autoimmune condition. Now, how is it manifesting in terms of what she's looking like? The TSH is high, okay? And the free T3 and free T4 are low. So right away there, we say it's showing as a hypothyroid. There's no concern about pituitary because they're skewed in the right direction. Typically, in a hypothyroid, you're going to see high TSH and low free T3, free T4. So we've got that, okay? But what do we have here as well? She's got, we've got a conversion issue, right? So she's got an autoimmune thyroid condition and she's not converting her T4 to T3 efficiently. It's not terrible, but they're still skewed. They're not in the same direction. Whereas we would look on the, even on my chart, which I show like the ideal ranges that have been put out, that free T4 would have looked like it was in the normal because it's closer to the normal. But this is definitely far out of the average. This is almost outside into the pathological range where they think it's around 210, 200. Depends on the lab, but this one says, now I'm going to throw one more monkey wrench into this. Is another calculation that you can do because she does have reverse T3. And her reverse T3, oh, I put it up there, right? 16.7. So remember we said that the free T3 should be what times, at minimally what time? 20, right? So we're going to do the calculation of 16.7 into we're going to do the bigger number, 230. There are some conversion tools online, and I've given it to you in your resources. And you just go online, you plug the numbers in, and you have to think about it. And it'll tell you where it lies. So if we do this, we get 1, right? That's 167. I'm making me do math on camera in front of an audience. Holy cow, 6 and minus 7 from 13 is 6. 63, and then we can go 16 into there is about 4, like 3, it's a little less than 4. So it's about 13. Okay? So what is, so this is just confirms that she's a conversion issue, right? She's got more of the T4 going to T3. Okay? So that's another issue. So we've got a lot going on here. Tomorrow we'll talk about how we're going to address it. Okay, we'll talk about how we're going to address autoimmune. You already have an idea of how to address the conversion issues. And you got some ideas from Dr. O'Brien's talk this morning about how you're going to address the autoimmune, right? First thing is you're going to get them off of gluten and any other allergens and heal the leaky gut. First things first. You got to start there, right? Then we're going to look at the immune system and why is it overacting. Well, if it's overacting because of this gluten thing and the gut permeability, right? Taking her just off of gluten isn't going to do it. And then there's the antioxidants and a whole bunch of other stuff we'll talk about. Okay? That's one example. You'll be able to do these on the fly with this chart. You don't have to think. Just put it on the chart. Make copies of this when you get home. You've got it online, so you could print off copies of it. But it'll be very helpful, especially as you're learning. Okay, so who else do we have here? I think we have one from... Okay, we have another one here. Is this helpful? Okay. And don't feel bad if you're not getting it right away. You've got to go through these over and over again. So invite all your friends and family members to get their thyroids tested and send them to you for free analysis. Set an account up with Direct Labs. They have a thing in there where you can set up an affiliate account, so you get like 11% of whatever they spend there. All right, so TSH... it's 2.5 T, total T4, this is total. If it just says T4 or thyroxine, that's the total. And after a while you get used to looking to the numbers, you'll know that if it's a number that's in the 6 range, you know, 6 to 12, then that's going to be the total. And if it's a number that's like in the 1s range or below, it's going to be the free. Then we have two things that we don't really use very much, but I'm going to tell you about them, T3 uptake and free thyroxine index. Those are calculated. It's a cheap way to test like free T3 and free T4, basically. And they're calculated. They're not that accurate, just to say that. So it's better to spend the $40 or $50 to get the free hormones done than to try to rely on these, because I've tried to make a correlation. When I first learned this, I was using these, and I'm like, okay, but and then I'd test the free T3 too, and I didn't see much in the way of correlation. So I just canned it. It comes free with all the thyroid panels. So you get what you pay for. Okay, so free T4 is 1.06. And then TGA, thyroglobulin antibody, is less than 1. And reverse T3 is 20.6, and then she actually has the total T3, which is 107. I don't look at that very often. And free T3 is 2.5. The reason for looking at the total, nice to have when you have the total and the free, because then you can see if they fall askew in the chart that there might be a thyroid binding globulin problem, which is common, especially in women, especially if they're on birth control pills or hormone replacement therapy, because that extra estrogen will bind up and cause you to hold on to, it causes more of the thyroid binding globulin. Okay, so let's put that on the chart. So everybody put it on the chart and let's see where it goes. And you'll recognize your numbers. I'm not saying people's names just for privacy's sake, but people that handed me their numbers, do you recognize yourself? Anybody? Do you want me to say your first name? Yes? Okay. So the first one was Kathy. Okay. And then this one is Jennifer. Okay. So let's see. So TSH is 2.5. We're going to mark that on the chart. You guys do it. 2.5, get in the habit of doing this. And then the free T3, let me just come over here. Free T3 is 2.5. Both of them are 2.5. How interesting. Did I write that wrong? 2.5. So which would be 250 right here. And then free T4 was 1.06. Okay. So what do we see here? Yeah. You're going to see a very cool thing in a moment, but first we're going to do this. Do you want to know if I have a chart that reminds them if this is this, if that is that? Yeah, we do. We'll go through, and I have a beautiful chart you're going to love. Okay? All right. I just want us to get practice a little bit. All right, so what are we seeing here? Hypo also with a little bit of a conversion problem, right? Okay, hypo with a conversion problem. What's the difference between the two? Okay, now I'm looking again to see if there was a TPO, because I don't see that one. Thyroid peroxidase was 14. Okay, it is there. This one begs talking about, because on the lab, they'll say 35 or less is normal. So I always say, think about antibodies as bullets shooting at your thyroid. Is it okay to have 34 bullets shooting at your thyroid when 35 is considered abnormal, but it's okay to have 34? How many bullets do you want shooting at your thyroid? Right? You want it zero or as close as you can get it to zero. I see a lot of them in the single digits, and I tell people, it's a warning. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to do some of this preventative stuff, heal the gut, work on that immune system, and do the antioxidants and all so that it doesn't become a problem. I've never seen a zero. The closest I've seen was the TGA of less than one, which is pretty close to zero. Now, some of them will not measure it that. They'll say less than 10 or less than 20. That doesn't give me much useful information. Right? And we do see those go down as they clean up. So I would still consider that there is a mild autoimmune process going on, whereas the other one was pretty darn severe, right? Okay, so that one needs major attention. This one needs preventative maintenance, okay? But she does have the conversion, not as far askew, but it's still askew. Whereas if you just looked at the chart that says the normal range or the optimal range, you might see these both. No, it still would be a problem. This would show up in the normal range, and this would show up in the not normal. So you're still going to catch it. But sometimes you'll have situations where you wouldn't catch it if you just look at the ranges rather than looking at where they lie in the ranges. Because again, we want, this is functional assessment. We want to catch it before it becomes a major problem, right? Before this person is like laying in bed and can't get out of bed, right? They've come to you for help, they have some fatigue, they have some brain fog, they have some depression, their hair's fallen out. Sometimes that's the sign that makes them come, right? The fatigue I can handle, but my hair's falling out, let's get this fixed. Yep, it happens. Okay, so that's that one. Let's do one more. I didn't even get to mine. I have all mine with their things going off. Okay, let's do one more, and then let's look at that chart. And then let's do some adrenals, and then we'll come back and see if we can fit some more in. All right. So we have, this is good because this one shows us the optimal range and the lab range. Let's do this one in blue. I usually use LabCorp just because that's what Direct Labs uses, and so it's the easiest and most accessible. LabCorp? Yeah. You will not be able to order tests through LabCorp unless you're a licensed physician, right? You have to be a chiropractor, an osteopath, an MD to order directly from LabCorp to set up an account, but you can go through Direct Labs, and they use LabCorp. And when the thing to note, when you have somebody order it through, it'll come back and say, Physician John Smith. And you're like, Who the heck is John Smith? Well, John Smith is the staff doctor at Direct Labs who signs all these requisitions that makes LabCorp use them. If they didn't have John Smith on staff, they wouldn't be able to do it, okay? So it's a very good service they're paying. We just hope and pray that the FDA doesn't decide that it's not appropriate, or the medical association or somebody doesn't decide that it's not appropriate. So we'll just keep using it until we can no longer do it. So she's got, and you can recognize this whoever you are, so there's no name on it, so that's fine. Just so you know, I'm working on yours. Okay, so we have TSH is 4. T4 is 5.1. T3 is 72. And we don't have our free numbers. We don't have our free numbers. So let me just write you the ranges. The optimal range here is 6 to 12. And the optimal range here is 100 to 180. Okay? And we don't have any antibodies. Okay? So we're going to do similar. We're going to do a similar assessment here. It's not going to be as accurate because we don't know about the free versus the bound, the protein bound. But if the optimal, this is optimal, not lab range. So the optimal range is 6 to 12, and she's at 5.1. She's got a TSH of 4 and a T3 of 72, 100 to 180. What are we looking at here? Hypothyroid, right? We don't know if this is a primary hypothyroid or an autoimmune hypothyroid because they didn't tell. And why do we need to know that? Why do we need to know if it's hypo? I mean, aren't we going to treat them both the same? Isn't it the same disease? No. But if she, in a conventional medical setting, she would be given a prescription for Synthroid and sent on her way. Nobody would address the other issue, like maybe this is hypo, maybe this is autoimmune. So just kind of just to scale, this is slightly under, this is like 6. If we did 10%, that would be 0.6. So this is a little bit more. This is like maybe 15% below. And this is 72 out of 100 to 180. So 10% would be 10, 20. This is more like 25%. I'm just doing a rough guess. So if we just figure out the normal range and how far off the normal range is it, what can we maybe speculate here? That there could be a conversion problem. So what the heck? Let's just assume there's a conversion problem and support them. Get the stress down, do the selenium, get their trace minerals intact, get all the vitamins intact. So we can assume that. Okay? Make sense? Is everybody with me? Okay, so what I want you to do is turn to the back of your book. And we could actually spend a whole day doing cases. And that's what we've done that in our practitioner program, the year-long, two-year-long, whatever. We had one day where we just did cases. We just got online and we had the webinar up and we showed cases and we did case after case after case. And after case after case, you get it. You know, you get all the different nuances of it. And it's especially good when I don't pick the cases, because I can pick the cases to be good examples, but when you just pick them randomly, you can get the smattering of all sorts of things. So if you go to in the this is what you're going to love. You read ahead. You looked ahead, didn't you? Okay. So page 62 of 68 in the big handout package in the back. Basically, the front talks to you about actually plotting this out for yourself and the different patterns so you understand where the patterns are. Got it? So it's the primary hypothyroid, the pituitary hypo, the autoimmune, the thyroid overconversion, underconversion, increased or decreased thyroid binding globulin, and then thyroid receptor resistance. So step one is you use your chart on this next page, which is page 63. And again, as you're learning this and practicing this, I would make a bunch of copies of this page and just do it on every lab you can get your hands on. Okay? So you're basically looking at the first thing you want to do is just use this chart and mark. So this isn't as nice with the ranges, so you might want to use this in conjunction with that other one to get, you know, whether it's high or low. But this is going to give you a more of a, less of a fine-tuning. So you'll get the conversion more from that first chart, but this will give you what the patterns mean. So if you look and you say your TSH, say you got on, let's do this one. This is a TSH is high, so we mark high. And then we have T4 total is low. And now if you look at that, various ones, there's going to be different columns that could manifest with a low T4. So we go, well, the first column, there's a low in there, there's a low in there, and there's a low here. So it could be any of these based on the low T4. And then you say we have a T3. Where's total T3? This doesn't show total T3. Well, let's assume, why doesn't it show total T3? We have a missing row. I just noticed this after using this for years. Okay, total. I think it's mostly because I don't run total T3, so I never noticed it was missing. All right, I'm going to add that to it. But let's just assume it was free. Let's just do this as a theoretical. Let's just assume that the free T3 was low. It could be here, it could be here, it could be here. So you're kind of looking for where could this be. You mark all the spots that have a low TSH. You mark all the spots that have a low, whatever numbers you have. And then you look to see where most of the stuff lines up, and you see where you might have the issue. So in this particular case, it looks like it could be a primary hypo. It's not. It could be a pituitary. No, it can't be a pituitary because we had low. Sorry, I marked that wrong. It could be autoimmune hypo, and that's about it. So then we're going to go down there and see what other things line up. So even though total T4 was low, it's not going to be pituitary because we already know that that doesn't match up. So you see your pattern here, and we know it's either a hypo or an autoimmune hypo. Simple as that. Now, had we had those numbers from the previous case and we marked that the free T3 was low and the free T4 was high, then when we mark those columns, it's going to say conversion problem. Do you see what I mean? So this summarizes what the findings would be. Make sense? So when we tomorrow, we're going to actually use this chart to show you what the nutrition you can use is for each of these patterns. So you figure out which of the patterns, one or two patterns, is going to be, and then you're going to go to the nutrition chart that's further along, and you're going to go, oh, so here's some of the stuff. Does it mean you're going to do everything in that chart? No. You got to use some judgment. But it's going to help you to determine a starting place. Like you had the autoimmune going on there. What are some of the things? So we're going to look at the antioxidants, we're going to look at healing leaky gut, and we're going to do all that other stuff. Make sense? Okay. You're not going to get this overnight. This takes practice, okay? This takes practice, practice, practice. You're already ahead of where most endocrinologists are in analyzing thyroid disease. You're already ahead of them, okay? They're just going, oh, okay, here's your T4. Come back in 6 months. Let's see how your levels are, okay? And a lot of people are on T4, and they're suffering still, and they're getting worse, and their bones are getting more osteoporotic, and they're just losing it. And you have the ability already to be able to help. Practice it, practice it. Like I said, really, just run them. Ask people, do you have any labs? Do you have any thyroid labs? Can I look at your thyroid labs? Can we have a party? All my friends come over. We're going to look at thyroid labs. And I'll teach you for free. Does that sound good to you? All right. You want to look at adrenals? You got enough of thyroid? Okay. Can you switch? We don't need to show the slides on the adrenals because we're going to go right into cases, right? What time is it? Yeah, we're going to go right into cases, unless you want to switch it for me because we're going to go back and forth, so stay there. Yeah, so we're going to look at adrenals. And for adrenals, we have the same thing. You'll just find it in your book. There's a thing that says adrenal scorecard. You have them fill it out. Or you fill it out when you're talking to someone. You get an idea of where they're at. The symptoms of low adrenals, where are we? He's finding it. Yeah, so it's basically on page 7 of the day 2 slides. We're going to look at adrenal assessments. Similarly to thyroid, you're going to look at the symptoms either by surveys or interviews or both. They're physical signs. You've got that chart that compares adrenal and thyroid, and you just check off the different signs. You're going to look at routine blood testing. That's the piece that's different. I'm going to show you a couple of things, the potassium levels and the sodium levels mainly. We're going to look at those and see if they give a hint. You can't say it's a diagnostic tool for adrenals, but it gives you a hint of the adrenals combined with low blood pressure and all that. And then there's a saliva testing, which is what we're going to spend most of the time looking at those saliva tests. Who's here ever had a saliva test for adrenals? Bunch of you. Okay, did you get a good explanation of what it meant when you had it? Did your practitioner explain to you what it meant? Okay. But not by anybody else. Yeah. From CAFE, of course. So we have a program called CAFE where not only do you know more about these things than most people, that the average person who's concerned about their adrenals, if they actually go through my CAFE program, they get a lot of this. And we try to, you know, water it down a little bit for the average person, but it is still pretty high level. And somebody said to me, I really admire you trying to teach this stuff to people with adrenal fatigue and brain fog. I'm like, oh. But on the other hand, just being told what to do wasn't working for them, right? Because they didn't understand it. And so I would have these calls, and people would come to the calls, and they'd submit their cases, and I'd just go, oh, you've got the and here's the thing, and go to page XYZ, and that tells you some of the things you can try. And it's just basically educating them about what's going on in their body. People got amazing results. You did that program, right? You thought it was pretty good. Yeah. And then you realize, oh, there's all this other stuff I could be doing. Oh, there's more to it. That's our CAFE program. And you can actually see Scott in the back. I think we have, are we running a special on the CAFE if they sign up here? And you get it for, we'll tell you later. Oh, I thought we did. Oh. we'll show you how you can get it for free later. All of this bundled together in a package. We'll talk to you about that in a little bit. Yeah, she said that she did the CAFE program, and she had been to her naturopath who ran an adrenal stress test and basically sent her home with a bottle of ashwagandha and said, have a good life. And she did the CAFE program and realized, oh, okay, there's all this other stuff I can do, and there's ways that I can assess it. She understood what the test meant, realized that they'd misinterpreted it, and then she's done stuff and it's really helped. Yeah. So that's a program that we have, and we'll have that as part of it. Because it's really, even just doing that, I think Jane did it because we gave her access to it early when she joined the program, and she had this, she said, I got an adrenal fatigue person. Can I get access to that early? I'm like, sure. So she had she didn't get the practitioner level training that we have for adrenals. She got the layperson thing, and that was very helpful in helping her with her client. So it's good stuff. Okay? You switch it. So then the scorecard reviews, you know, you have them fill it out. You look at the numbers. I think anything over 10 is suspect. Anything over 20 for sure. There's some problems going on, and a lot of them come back with them over 50, and you've got to deal with it. You've got to deal with it. They've got to get on with their life. Where's the thing? So that's the scorecard review. And the next piece is, let's see, oh, exam signs. And we have those very well laid out in the CAFE program, where the blood pressure goes down when they stand, the pupils don't stay constricted like we talked about before, the rib margins are tender, sometimes black or brown discoloration, that's kind of Chinese medicine looks at that's a kidney or adrenal issue, darker red or back of the tongue. That's part where the kidney part is on the tongue. Ulcerations, canker sores on the tongue. Bad breath, and sometimes metallic breath, which would indicate that the stress is coming from a heavy metal overload. Flaky cuticles and various tongue signs, which we have pictures of in an exam form that we have. So the routine blood screen. So when they do the routine blood screen, nobody knew before that you can actually tell a little bit about their adrenals, or at least suspect, and then maybe run the ASI test or the adrenal stress test afterwards. So if their potassium is elevated, and their sodium is depressed, and they have low to normal glucose, there's a good chance that their adrenals are low. If they have low potassium and high sodium, and they have elevated glucose or triglycerides, there's a good chance that they're hyper. Even without the triglycerides or glucose being elevated, it's just suspicious. You just want to look at that being a possible indication that there's an adrenal stress going on. So we like to do adrenal saliva testing for a number of reasons. Number one, it's not invasive. They don't have to go to the lab and get blood drawn. Number two, it's more accurate because you do it throughout the day. And if you remember day one yesterday, we showed you a chart of the way that it's a circadian rhythm. So you can actually test it at points and see how close you are to a normal circadian rhythm. If you do blood, you're just doing the first morning. And they may be good first morning and then they crash later in the day. And you just don't know. Okay, you just don't know. And then it's certainly convenient because they can just collect it at home or even at work. People take it in. You have to keep it refrigerated, so you have to be able to stick it in the refrigerator at work. Brown paper bags work fine. Just mark it with your name. And if somebody thinks that they're going to eat your lunch, they're in for a huge surprise. So captures the cyclical nature. I've always felt like I wanted to do the test and just get like three or four test kits and do it every hour just to really capture it. And then I wanted to like deliberately get really pissed off at somebody and start screaming and yelling and then take my cortisol. And then, so one day I might do this because, I mean, it's just, or then eat something crazy or go for a run and see what happens. And oh, yes, totally. And it's good to get people to journal in general. It's like pulling teeth. But during the test, yes. Yeah, yeah. Because somebody say, oh, I don't know if this was valid. I think you said that, Jane, when you did yours. I think it wasn't valid because I had all the stress going on. They always say that, though. This wasn't my normal life. Okay, well, let's do it again. Really, okay, that wasn't your normal life either. Let's just wait till I'm on vacation for a month and I've slept every day. Then let's take my adrenal test. I'm like, yeah, okay. I tell you that in jest. But that's what I've been doing for 2 years. I have had that kit sitting there. I go, I'm going to start doing it when I start sleeping. I should just do the darn test, but I just don't want the word. You know.
If you did the test, you'd probably sleep.
Do the test. I know. Maybe it'll give me the good idea. And maybe, just maybe, it'll be perfectly fine.
Maybe.
And I will say, good. I don't need it.
Who needs sleep?
I don't need sleep. I defy human nature. I don't need sleep.
Superwoman.
Where's my cape? The samples are stable for several weeks if you keep them in the freezer. So, I mean, I don't know why that's valid, but they always say that on their test things. It's stable for several weeks. So, yeah, they can do the morning one on week one and then the evening one on week three and see. I don't know why that's important, but because you have to freeze them and then send them right away. So symptoms of overactive, we've gone through some of this, you know. You can't fall asleep, they're anxious, they wake up in the middle of the night, the mind is racing. They wake up and they're tired after they've slept for a long time. They have that tired, wired phenomenon up and down versus thyroid where they're just tired. And if they have both, then you might see that, you know, the thyroid superimposes over the adrenals and they don't even get the wired. They have the hypothyroid and the adrenal. And the low ones, of course, you've got. There's a lot of symptoms, and the dizziness on getting up, photophobia, like we talked about, in my son's words, photophobia, and most people say, you know, sensitivity to light. Poor recovery from exercise is critical. You're going to hear this a lot. God, I want to exercise, and I get up, and I go, and I do this stuff, and then I'm dead for 3 days, and then I do it again. I'm like, okay, your adrenals are like a bank account, and generally people with their energy when they restore their adrenals are like kids in candy stores. I want that. And there's no money left for the thing they really want. And that's what happens with the adrenals. So conserve, I always tell them, conserve your energy. Do light yoga, light walking, not Ashtanga yoga where you're holding that position for 14 hours. And you just go easy on yourself. Training for, I had one person, her adrenals were flatlined. She goes, but I'm doing this triathlon in 3 months. So I'm like, you're crazy. I need you to get me well for this triathlon in 3 months. I'm like, I can't. It's stupid to do that because you're going to be way more depleted. On the other hand, you know, people think, oh, I have to do, I'll just go lay on the beach. And one of my colleagues told me the story of this woman. She was like flatlined adrenal, but she'd just like done an IPO. She was the head of the, you know, CEO, and they'd done all this stuff for 3 years, merger, blah, sold the company, made a fortune. She's, oh, no problem. All of that's behind me. That was the cause of it. I'm just going to go lay on the beach. 6 months she laid on the beach. He said, do me a favor, come back in 6 months and let me check you. And she didn't take any herbs, she didn't take any supplements, she didn't do any of the stuff to restore the damage. And he came back and it wasn't repaired even after 6 months. So he put her on the support we're going to talk about tomorrow, really restored it with the combination. So right, it's holistic, you have to do it all, and then it got repaired. So don't underrate the damage. Maybe if she'd done that for 3 years and did nothing but drink juice and, you know, lay on the beach and been served, but who does that? Who has that opportunity, really? Especially somebody like that, she was probably coming back like, oh God, I'm going nuts. Now I need another IPO to work on. The other thing that you can do for testing, and we have it over here, is this Konigsberg thing. I think I showed it to you earlier. I think we put it away, but I showed it to you earlier where there's two different things. If you go to Apex Energetics, you can order their Konigsberg test kit if you want to do it that way, but it is urine. So if you don't have a CLIA thing, clearance to do urine testing, you can do it on yourself, or you can give it, you can't even give that one to your clients. So it's just to know that it's there, but it's not something that you necessarily can do unless you're a physician and you have the, you know, or you have a lab. Even that, I was doing it for a while, or I was getting people's urine and doing it, and because it's in my scope to do it, but then I realized I was supposed to get some kind of CLIA clearance to do it, and I'm like, I don't need a CLIA clearance. I'm not going to go through that hassle. And they don't have test strips for that particular test. So let's look at the progression. We looked at this briefly yesterday. We have somebody who's in the normal range, and sometimes they'll briefly go up into the high range and come back down. You get them up in that high range. They're in that hyperadrenal state, like this woman during her IPO. She's like going, 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 and then she crashed. So stage one. Stage two is where the total cortisol is normal, and stage three is where the total cortisol is crashed. You're still going to get patterns. Like in the normal, people say, oh, my total cortisol is normal. But you look at the pattern, it's zigzagged, it's not right. There's a problem there. And you look at the DHEA. That's critical. The DHEA is almost always going to be lower, with the exception as sometimes right before complete exhaustion, the DHEA goes up. And the explanation that I've seen is it's like, it's that last hurrah, let's just try to get it together. And the DHEA goes up right before failure. So if you see somebody who has a really great DHEA and all the cortisols are low, they're probably worse off than the person with the low DHEA and the normal, the good cortisols, or the low cortisols, I mean. See, that makes sense? Mm-hmm. All right, so let's look at some examples. I've got a whole bunch of examples. I've got three here, stage one, two, and three, and then I'll show you some others if anybody, I think somebody gave me theirs. But these are kind of cool, and by the end of this, you'll be able to spot them and tell me what stage they're in. And once you can do that, it's not sometimes that simple. I'll tell you a few of the nuances, but I'm going to give you the basics. And then you'll be able to go, okay, well, what do I do about stage one? How do I treat that differently or educate people differently about stage one versus stage three? So this is the BioHealth lab, okay? And that's a stage one. You do have these in your notes. So the stage one, and I'm going to come closer so I could point to it more easily because it's hard for me to see from there. Okay, so what they do is they give you, are we back on stage one? They give you the cortisols at the different time of day, morning, noon, afternoon is somewhere in the 4 to 5 range, you know, that slump time that most people have, and then right before bed, so any from 10 to 12. Then they give you the sum total of the cortisol. And this is what you're looking at. Does it fall within the range? So on this particular one, the range is 23 to 42. This total is 51. So right away we're going, ah, this is stage one, they're hyper. But let's look at, we want to look at two, we want to look at the distribution, we want to look at the DHEA and the ratio between the cortisol and DHEA. So this person has a DHEA of 2. So 51, 2. If she had a perfectly normal DHEA, we might say this is a transient stress situation. It hasn't been going on very long. She's probably not in stage one. She's just in some hyper stress situation. Test her again in a few weeks and, you know, get her to calm down. It's probably fine. But in this particular case, there's definitely a disparity. And look at the ratio. Cortisol DHEA, which should be under 10, right? It's a small number, 28.8. So her ratio, she has way more cortisol than DHEA. So that steal process we were talking about, they often call the pregnenolone steal, where the cortisol steals the precursor down. This is big time going on. Cortisol stealing it. If we were to test this person's estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, what do you think would happen there? Do you think they'd be high, low, or normal? They'd be low, because look how high that cortisol is. The cortisol's just sucking it dry. Now, in this case, if you go back to that chart with the pregnenolone at the top, a lot of cases you can give pregnenolone. You'd be really careful about giving pregnenolone in this case, because it may make the cortisol higher still, because it's just like, oh, she's in a lot of stress. Oh, more precursor. Let's steal more of it. Okay. So in that case, I would for sure think about DHEA could be very helpful in this case. But again, DHEA would be definitely very helpful because the DHEA could actually inhibit the cortisol. But here's the thing about DHEA and supplementation. When you supplement with DHEA, you want to do it at physiological doses. I see a lot of people coming in on 25 to 50 milligrams of DHEA. And indeed, if you look at all the supplements of DHEA, they're usually 25, 50, it's hard to find them that are lower. What I use is the company called Biomatrix, which is affiliated with BioHealth. It's their supplement side. And they have DHEA in drops. And they're like 1.2 milligrams per drop. So we start some people with just one drop three times a day. I have one person who she does one drop a day, and we watched her DHEA numbers climb over the period of 6 months because she was doing all the other stuff to support. She just needed a little bit of that to help push it along. Okay? So when you're doing it, don't ever give 25 milligram doses unless it's really clear. It's a guy. You've measured it in the blood as well, and they're showing real clear signs. I would really be careful with women because you can get masculinization, some like facial hairs and acne and hoarse voice. So you got to be careful about that because DHEA can convert to testosterone. And most women do need extra testosterone, but again, you just be careful. So I always use just physiologic doses. For a stage three, I might use 4 drops 3 times a day. Might be the maximum dose I would do. Okay. And then we've got, we're overlapping a little bit into the treatment, but you get it. So the green here is it the lower end of normal, the higher end? So you've got red and green, and the person is, see the person's number, whoops, darn. The person's numbers are here. So they're actually pretty good first thing in the morning, but then they're above the range, and then they go even higher, and then they come down lower. You want to look when there's a particular time when it spikes like that, because oftentimes that's a period right after they've had hypoglycemia. Okay? We've got stage two. We've got DHEA. Again, it's really low at 2.6. It's at the low end of the range. And we really want the DHEA, you want to see the numbers in around 7, 8, 9 would be good numbers. Okay, so optimal versus the range. This person has a total of 23, which is at the low end. But even if you saw the total being 28, it's right in the normal range. It's still abnormal if that DHEA is low, and especially if you look at the chart and you see. So this person is at the very low end of the normal range. I like to be in the 50 to 75% range. And it's way down at the bottom of the range. Same thing at the next level, but then it drops way below and stays low for the rest of the day. So that stage two, even though it's got the total, but it's still showing signs that it's moving towards stage three. Make sense? So this one's a stage two, and then zero is a stage three. Okay? The high number, the low number, and the patient. Below the normal range, right at the normal range here, below. This person's a stage three, and the DHEA is at the very low end. Like I said, 7 to 9 would be where I would like to see it. Okay, and then the ratio, again, that's where you see the ratio. The ratio is 9.9, and it should be between 5 and 6. Make sense? So this would be a stage three, and this is a person who's depleted. Not a bad, not a terrible stage three. We often see the flat lines. Those cases oftentimes need to be referred to a medical doctor to get some cortisone, to actually take some cortisone to jumpstart the system. Small doses, low-dose cortisone, not the cortisone amount they do for buffing up for athletics or for anti-inflammatory. Just very low dose, just to jumpstart them. They also do well with glandulars at that point. You can do glandulars. Okay? What time are we supposed to end at 3:30? Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to stop here. We're going to give you a chance to look at this stuff. And then tomorrow when we go, and this will be better to do right before we do the management strategies, and then we'll look at the examples, and then we'll go right into what we would do for them. Does that make sense? It's good? Do you feel like you've gotten a fill? No? Good for you. More. Okay. So we're going to take a break until 3:45. Short break. And what we want you to do is come back, and then we're going to have some sharing of real-life examples of, practitioners who have been in your seat and have gone, oh, my God, this is so much stuff, and I want to know more, and how do I know more, and how do I learn how to put this into practice? And we're going to share some stories, some really good stories, okay? Inspiring stories. You're welcome.